Aloha and welcome to Kapiko Podcast. I'm Kyle Galdera with Kamehameha Schools Communications, and also welcome to 2021 as we kick off the third season of the podcast. We really appreciate you tuning in. We started this in 2019, so it's hard to believe that we're now in our third calendar year of doing this podcast. And as we mentioned when we started, we continue to showcase the importance of Native Hawaiian innovation, approaches to leadership, and also community building as well. So we really appreciate you tuning in. And no matter how you're catching us today, whether it's on YouTube, watching the video, or listening to our audio version on multiple platforms, the best way to find us is at ksbe.edu in the Emua newsroom, and also on various platforms, including Stitcher, Spotify, and as I mentioned before, YouTube as well. You can catch all our latest episodes, as well as all the archived episodes there too. And today's episode is an interesting one because as we move into 2021, a lot of folks are dealing with not only changes to jobs and careers, but also different outlooks on the way we work, including remote learning, and distance working as well. So with that in mind, I wanted to welcome in today's guest, Tani Sale. She's the Director of Talent Acquisition at Kamehameha Schools within the Human Resources Group. And she's joining us today to talk about some of those unique approaches and also career moves in 2021 as we adjust to this new landscape. So mahalo, Tani, for joining us.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Yeah, and before we jump into the discussion, tell us a little bit about your background and your work in the HR field and what you enjoy about it and what you're looking forward to here in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, sure. No, thank you. So a little bit about myself. I am a Big Island girl, born and raised on Hawaii Island, out in Honolulu. So anybody from that area, if you know Tashima's restaurant, I'm right in that area. Been here at Kamehameha Schools now for a little over 8 years, hard to believe. But prior to that, spent an additional 10 years actually working in the, the search firm industry. So providing executive staffing search services for different local organizations here in Hawaii. KS was actually a client of mine back then. So I've got close to 20 years in the field itself, and really have spent my entire career in HR focus solely on recruitment and talent acquisition. So, you know, in terms of, you know, just, you know, maybe what I'm excited about, you know, for 2021, it's continuing to help people really adapt to, like you said, the changing landscape. I've always been really excited and passionate about helping people find what they're passionate about, and helping them find that, you know, right now with KS and previous to that with other organizations. And I think that's actually what drives me to continue in this field. I really love learning about people. About all the uniquenesses of the talents and the skills that are out there, and really what's changing in our world, and how we as people contribute to that, you know. So feel that that's super exciting, and that's kind of what keeps me going in this work, but I appreciate your asking.
Okay. And speaking of learning and adjusting to change and learning new things, what better time than during a worldwide pandemic that we're seeing,
right?
With COVID-19? And with that in mind, what are some of the tips or pieces of advice that you have for folks that are either watching or listening that might be dealing with, you know, having been furloughed or being laid off or even taking voluntary separation if they wanted to care for a keiki or kupuna even?
No, I think this pandemic, you know, has forced us to change, right? A lot of people say at the beginning of the new year, I want to change and I have this desire, but how do I do it? And this pandemic kind of threw us into it. We really had no choice. But to your point, and it's funny that you asked, because I recently did a little LinkedIn write-up, because I've been getting that question a lot, like, hey, I'm not working right now. What can I do to make this time productive for myself and to really benefit from it? So a few kind of tips that I can throw out there. I've definitely encouraged people to just learn a new skill, you know, and it doesn't mean like go back to school, you know, but there are so many resources right through like LinkedIn Learning or YouTube or whatever it might be, right? You know, look things up and just kind of, you know, learn through that. The other thing, though, that I think, that we're fortunate to do with this virtual means is, you know, just reconnecting with people. You might not be able to do it face to face sitting down in a, you know, in a restaurant or whatever, you know, during Pauhana time, but you can do it virtually. So take advantage of that, reconnect with colleagues and just your own network. You know, use the time to update your resume. We always say that the best time to actually do that is when you're not pressured trying to apply for a job, you know, so if you have a little bit of downtime, you know, voluntary or not, use that time just to gather your thoughts and put it on paper. And then the other thing that we've been talking a lot about too is like use that time to reflect and absorb in a number of different ways. So, you know, think about maybe things that used to give you spark that maybe you've lost in the hustle and bustle of day to day, like just kind of refine that passion. Don't be afraid to just enjoy and kind of relish in the moments and the present of the here and now, you know, but maybe, you know, while you're doing that, try to establish, I guess, what we call like your own personal brand. Like, you know, what are your values? Who are you? What do you represent? So that whenever you do get ready to re-enter the job market, you're kind of ready for that.
Okay. And that's important. You mentioned that personal brand because that kind of follows you wherever you are and where you want to go. So can you kind of describe that a little more? And how do you work to establish or even re-establish that personal brand?
Yeah. The personal branding thing is kind of interesting, you know, and the way I like to articulate it is like, think about a company, right? So every company has their own brand because it's what sets them apart from competition. You know, so I try to use that same spin when you think about like your own personal brand, like what makes you unique, right? What attributes do you have? What values do you bring to an organization that can help set you apart from the competition, right? What makes you stand out? And I think, you know, through those things, you know, you can start to put that on paper. You know, so, you know, think about like, what's your story? What are your goals? What are your, you know, experiences and expertise that may be different from like your day-to-day job? And again, elevate that, kind of highlight that about yourself. So, you know, I would say that once you do that, then you kind of have this foundation of how to do things like update your resume, because you would want any updates to your resume to reflect that personal brand, right? It's kind of your honing beacon. So, but hopefully that kind of gives a little bit of insight as to what we mean when we say, you know, personal brand in today's kind of talent acquisition world.
Okay. And you had mentioned earlier the importance of kind of building and fostering that network, even though we're not able to do much of it in person, there's that virtual opportunity too. Yeah. And during the career seeking opportunity and the way that you go about that, why is it important to really have that network strong when you go into that process?
Yeah. You know, the networking, in my perspective, is beneficial just in so many ways, you know, and like I had touched on and you did too, it's kind of that right now, it's really this upsell about the benefits of being able to do that remotely. You know, I remember even for myself, you know, when you were invited to network with someone, you've got to take time, account for travel to get someplace and, you know, leave work early, whatever that might be. But now again, you can just set up a Teams meeting or, you know, a Zoom meeting and just jump on in and engage with people. You know, so I think these virtual get togethers, even after the pandemic, I don't see any reason why they cannot be the new norm, right? Of how we connect, you know, and continue to engage with people. I actually feel like, sorry, side commentary, that I'm probably more connected now with some of my friends because of this virtual environment, you know, because we're scheduling, you know, all of these, you know, little gatherings. So anyway, but, you know, in terms of the connections, you know, a couple of things that I want to point out is, you know, connections can come from so many different avenues. And really it's the connections, I think, especially in our local landscape here in Hawaii, we always hear that saying, right? It's always who you know, right? How you're connected to people. You know, so you never know how a connection, you know, if you are going through a job change or transition or wanting to do that, who you know, who knows somebody, right, that can give you insights into the market, that can tell you what it's really like to work for a particular company, or even if they don't know, they might know a friend of a cousin that they, you know, just got together with a couple months ago. So, you know, really leveraging that, because again, it can really provide you with a lot of insight and perspective. And the other thing that, you know, we recommend a lot when it comes to connections is don't just leverage the connections that you do have, you know, but ask for connections. If I know that Kyle knows somebody at, you know, another organization that I'm kind of exploring and I have interest in, like, hey, can you, you know, get me connected up with your cousin who works there, whatever that might be. You know, so don't be afraid to leverage that. And I think, you know, just talk story with people. I think a lot of times we feel like we're bothering folks. But I think, you know, a lot of people will be surprised at how excited and valued actually other people feel when you do reach out to them and say like, hey, can I talk story with you about XYZ? Because I think you could have great perspective or you might know something, you know, so don't shy away from making connections, new, you know, or previously existing. So.
Okay. And the importance of connections, that also goes to the point of, if you're thinking about a prospective employer, it might be a good idea to potentially reach out to that employer before you even go through the process. So is that something you would recommend as well?
Absolutely. In fact, I will share that we just had that situation. We had a candidate who reached out to us because they were interested in some of our instructional technology positions here at Kamehameha Schools, you know, and saw, I guess, by researching our organization that I worked in talent, and just reached out and said, hey, can I talk story with you? I'd love to learn more about your company, share with you more about my skill set to see if there could be a potential match. You know, so we're going to schedule some time to engage in that conversation. And that happens a lot with my team. And if we're not the ones maybe that can provide that insight, you know, we are always here to help facilitate and make connections even within our organizations, right? See if a manager or another employee from an area would be willing to have those conversations. And the other thing I would say to that is, a lot of folks, I think, also will shy away from accepting a connection or engaging in a conversation because they're like, oh, I don't think that's the right job for me, or I really don't know a whole lot about that company. But I always say, don't turn down an opportunity to talk, because, again, you never know what you might learn from that. You never know what they might learn from you. Again, you might both might say, oh yeah, that job is probably not going to be for you, but hey, I actually have this other opportunity. Or do you mind if we keep you in mind for other opportunities, right? So again, building your connections, you know, comes from that as well. So I think kind of the bottom line, you know, is just embrace networking. It can be a little uncomfortable. You can feel like, you know, maybe I'm invading people's space or territory, but there's so many benefits that come from it. And I think a lot of people, again, really welcome it. And just enjoy, you know, engaging in that process.
Okay. So we mentioned networking. We talked about updating your resume and building that personal brand. We got the four-legged friends joining the podcast as well. So in addition to those tactics, what are some other tips and strategies that you can use when you are applying for job opportunities, or even, like you said, just kind of looking around and putting those feelers out?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, I would go back to, you know, if you're looking for a career, like I said, reach out to folks, you know, reach out to those connections, leverage the recruiters, you know, and again, if you are going to do that, if you're going to reach out to someone that you don't know, you know, maybe make mention as to why you're reaching out. Like I said, that particular individual, right, gave me a lot of insights. If you just send a blind connection, you're kind of like, who is this person? You know, what are they kind of after? You know, so I would definitely encourage that for sure. But the other thing, you know, is, you know, when you go into these conversations, you know, think about it as your way to again, just learn and gain a lot of information. Again, our company, we like to share information about who we are, right? What our mission is, you know, and that gives you an opportunity to kind of bridge the gap, right? Share where your passions align, you know, and provide a lot of information, excuse me, that you won't necessarily see on paper. You know, so kind of going back to that, you know, think about your values when we talk about that personal brand, right? And the values, what do you see in the company? How do your values align? You know, and I think really be prepared to kind of answer the question, because we ask it and we always encourage our managers to ask this, ask why our organization, right? There are lots of this same type of position all over. So why us? Why our company, right? So make sure, you know, and this I think is kind of common, but very easily overlooked, you know, for people to do their research, you know, do their research on the organization, the department, the division, again, anything in itself that they can take away. In addition to that, use that information to, when you're updating your resume, you know, we always say, you know, have something, you know, kind of generic, per se, that has all your experience, but then personalize it, right? So don't only think about the things that are directly applicable. Think about the things that could be transferable. I think we, you know, folks easily can overlook the transferable skills, you know, so think about those things, because I really do see it as a, I guess the kuleana, if you could say, of the job seeker, right? To really make sure that we as employers know why you, what do you have to offer, right? Because there's only so much that we can get from paper. So, you know, those are probably some things I would mention. I do want to just mention really quickly kind of the resume aspect of it. You know, like I said, you know, have a master resume, but make sure that you're highlighting what is applicable to that job that you're applying for, you know, and try to have things be concise, you know, use simple, you know, format, you know, really easy things like that, again, that we see are very easily overlooked. Determine if functional or chronological resumes kind of work for you. Don't add photos. Leave that for social media. You'd be surprised how many resumes we get that have pictures on it. You know, leave that for social media. But I will also say, if your picture on social media, make sure it's professional. You know, doesn't have to be a professionally taken picture, but, you know, professional, if that's what you're going to be using it for, you know. And then the other thing that I'll add, you know, is to kind of to make sure to add in, I guess a lot of folks refer to it as like a summary of qualifications or accomplishments. I kind of like to call it an elevator pitch. You know, put that information on there to really, again, outside of your day-to-day work, right? What do you bring to the table? Why should I even look past that summary? And I think in a lot of cases, it can help call out the things that you've done that you feel that you've brought value to the organization in that might even be outside of your day-to-day job. So for me, I lead my resume with accomplishments, because over the handful of years that I've been here at KS, a lot of my big projects and accomplishments are not even directly related to talent acquisition. They've been in bigger kind of enterprise-wide projects. Right. So if I just relied on my day-to-day work to highlight my experience, so many things would be missed. So hopefully that helps give a few kind of tips as that you were asking about.
Yeah, that's some good advice there. And you had mentioned earlier that it's actually become a little bit easier to remain connected with some folks because of this, you know, ease of setting up a Teams or a Zoom call or just using that virtual environment. So how do you apply that to the interview process? Because, you know, a lot of times that whole face-to-face connection is really what can make or break the interview. So how do you approach it when you're going for a career opportunity and you have to do a virtual interview?
Right. So number one, don't let happen what just happened to me, because that's epic fail number one, is having, you know, a bunch of distractions in the background. So, but, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned kind of the make or break, because one thing that I forgot to add about the resume piece is, you know, a lot of people say that the interview process is your first impression. I actually say that your resume is your first impression, right? That really is the very first time an organization is going to learn or see you, per se, for the first time. I kind of look at the interview as like the seal of the deal. So all of that being said, you know, I would definitely say that all things that typically would apply to an in-person interview should still apply to a virtual interview process. So for example, you know, professional attire, you know, good grooming, kind of making sure that's on point, you know, show up a few minutes early. If you have a Zoom invite, right, log in just, you know, 2 or 3 minutes early, you know, rather than right on time or right after, because in most, you know, cases, people will have to allow you into the room anyway. But the other things that, you know, that we can recommend are, you know, find a quiet kind of well-lit space, again, free from distractions and outside noise. So there was my epic fail. pick a nice virtual background. So, you know, don't have it where people are going to be walking in the background, or that, you know, they can see people walking in the background. You know, my background is actually from Google. I love your background, you know, of Maui, you know, but pick something that is a nice, you know, virtual background. again, that won't be distracting. Make sure you have good internet connection, even if that does mean, you know, proposing times to the interviewers, that could work better for you, because maybe you have, you know, your kiki who are doing, you know, homeschooling at home, or a spouse that's working from home. You don't want to have everybody on video at the same time, because it's going to slow down your bandwidth, right? So just some of those little tidbits. And I would even say, you know, take some time. We encourage people to mock interview, you know, before you go on interviews, but do it virtually with a friend. You know, make sure again that the setting looks good, everything visually looks okay. And I would again say the same things apply. Make sure you smile, monitor your body language, because we can still see that, right? We can see you slouch or hang over the chair. Right. You know, so be mindful of those things for sure. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, just always remember, you know, that you as a candidate, that you're interviewing the company just as much as the company is interviewing you. So don't be afraid to take a lead in that, a very active lead in that process, right? Ask your own questions, ask clarifying questions, and don't be afraid to articulate your needs and wants, of course, diplomatically, and kind of making sure you have the right people in the room to do it. You know, but, you know, definitely bring that forward as well.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of backgrounds, so for everyone on YouTube, this is a view from up on our beautiful KS Maui campus. And for everyone who's listening, make sure to check out YouTube so you can take a look at it. But yeah, it's always important to have some interesting backgrounds there, especially on these virtual interactions. But as we kind of bring the podcast to a close today, one more question I had for you, Tani, was, you know, just for job seekers out there, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety even. But what are some tips that you have, just some last things for people to keep in mind when they're going through this process amid these uncertain times of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah. So, you know, I know a lot of folks, first of all, we hear that, you know, a lot of folks are afraid to make those transitions. You know, so I do want to just put out a reminder that, you know, job change doesn't have to be outside of your current organization, right? Always remember to look inside, especially if you love the company that you're working with. Leverage, you know, your internal resources and those internal opportunities. But I will also say, because we find this a lot as well when we coach even our own internal staff when they're applying for jobs, even though you are internal, treat it like an external process. Update your resume as you would for anybody who doesn't know you. Bring your A game to the interview. Don't just assume that because you've worked with folks that you're gonna articulate less about yourself and your expertise, because again, you never know who else they're interviewing, right? So kind of right. Being mindful if you're an internal person, but I want to call that out. The other part, you know, is you know, again, take the time to focus on your passions, right? You be mindful of how you engage in online platforms. I talk about LinkedIn a lot because LinkedIn is a social media platform specific for professional networking, right? But again, connections, like I was mentioning, a connection you may give to me could come from Facebook, right? And people may then look at my Facebook, you know? So again, just keeping in mind, you know, on how you engage in other social media platforms. You know, I'll also say, you know, don't be afraid to try new things. I know that within kind of the changing structure of a lot of organizations, people are having to do things differently. They're taking on new roles and responsibilities. And sometimes it does make us uncomfortable, you know, because it is very different, you know, but also remember that a lot can come from that, a lot of learning, a lot of growth, right? So if you are afforded an opportunity, again, even if it's not a job change that you're looking for, but your employer says, hey, do you want to work on this project? Accept it. Even if it's scary, accept it, because you never know what kind of skills you may gain from that that could help you in the future, right? When you are wanting to make that change. And then a few other things that I think are really great that I've seen, you know, other organizations do in addition to KS. If you're applying for a job, look for companies that have job alerts. We've actually just enabled that functionality here at KS. So what that allows job seekers to do is set up their own like alerts that will notify you when the company posts jobs that match the criteria that you've input. So it allows you to kind of stay proactive in your job search. Right. Kind of going back to the networking, some companies allow you to just like drop a resume without filling out an application. KS has this thing called introduce yourself, fill out your first name, last name, drop off a resume, it gets sent to the talent team, and they can proactively reach out to you. So again, even if there isn't a job available, but you're really interested in a company that you feel totally aligned with, you know, look for features like that for sure. And then the other thing that, you know, I'll kind of end with, you know, is just, again, you know, take a look at additional resources. A lot of organizations, I think, like KS, you know, we're always trying to help others, you know, and the resources that we want to put out there are not just for the people who are looking for jobs with KS, but just generally speaking. So one thing that we'll be actually highlighting and promoting in February is this Get Ready to Apply page. And it will have tips on how to apply with KS, but what we also want to put out there are additional informational resources that people can just access, you know, some of our favorite links, you know, to different videos or tips on resumes, et cetera. So I've seen a lot of other organizations doing that as well, you know, so take a look and see if they have other tips, you know, that you could learn from, you know, as you engage in that process, just again, really kind of keeping that eye out on the different things that are out there. But hopefully that helps. I could go on and on about all kinds of stuff, but I know we've got, you know, a little bit of time left. So I'll try to wrap it up with that.
That was great. And that actually does wrap us up for this episode. And if you're tuning in on various platforms, continue to do that. And as a reminder, you can check us out in the Emua newsroom at ksbe.edu and also on social media at Kamehameha Schools. And as far as HR is concerned, Tani, you can follow up on this too, but the Kamehameha Schools LinkedIn page is a super robust resource for different articles and opportunities and even tips for job seeking folks out there. And just a way to build those connections and help with networking like we talked about today. And Tani, any last words before we head out today?
No. That's it, I think, for me. I appreciate your reference to the LinkedIn page. I'll also just throw out there, we also have a KS Careers Facebook page as well that we engage in. But, you know, would be happy for anybody to reach out if there are any other questions that come out of this podcast. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, and always happy to answer questions. But mahalo nui, Kyle, for your time and for engaging me in this conversation. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been good fun and a great way to start off the new year.
Yep.
So, mahalo, Tani. For Tani, I'm Kyle. Take care. Join us again, and aloha.
Aloha.